Blog Talk Radio.
There is a watchman on the wall, bringing forth the written word of God to one and all. Are you getting ready? Will you stand or will you fall? Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall. Listen to the watchman on the wall.
Rise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. A new day has dawned. All over the earth, men and women are arising. It's time for the sons of God to awake. It is a day of justice, recompense, restoration, revival, and resurrection power.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vincent Xavier, pastor of New Wine Ministries. Sorry about the Monday morning frog in the throat thing. God bless you. I'm so sorry about that. But we're going to begin our broadcast today. It is Monday. There is a lot of information we're going to share today of many different things that are going on in our country. And I've got a big, big question to ask you, our listener today. I think there's some issue that we need to put into perspective, and we're going to think about it. We're going to be definitely investigative in our thinking and research about this moment, but I'm going to begin with a number of things that we need to be praying for, and then I'm going to share a little news report, and then we're going to move forward. The first thing that I'm going to ask you to do while you're on the air with me is there is a man, his name is Wayne, he is a friend of ours. His mother, Eleanor, who is 97 years of age, is dealing with a urinary tract infection right now. She is not eating. She's going through a difficult time. We want to pray for her, and I just want to share the good news. My father-in-law, Mr. B, who lived to be 100, dealt with these things also, and because of prayers, he always came through. And so we're going to pray for Eleanor, and we're going to ask the Lord to number one, we rebuke in Jesus' name the urinal tract infection. We ask the Lord to deliver Eleanor from every bit of pain in her body. We ask that she would come into a supernatural and divine rest in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach. We plead the precious blood of Jesus over this dear woman. Lord, we thank you for her salvation. We thank you that she's a daughter of yours. And Lord, we thank you that you've given her such a long life. And Father, we just thank you for your divine power and mercy right now in Eleanor to undo this affliction on her body in the name of Jesus. And Lord, increase her appetite. Let that infection pass through. Let those who are working in this area of her life be successful with your heartbeat, Lord, that they would continue to desire life. And as long as there is breath, Lord, as long as there is life, we thank you that you are tending to it. And thank you, Lord, that you're answering our prayers. We place Eleanor in your hands right now. You're the great physician. And we thank you, Lord, that you're using this even now, that she's drawing close to your heart, closer and closer to your heart. Her spirit is vital. Her spirit is alive. Her spirit is in union with Christ Jesus. Her spirit Father God, is getting ready to be liberated from a body that has housed it. And in your due season, Lord, we know that's going to happen, whether you return or whether it just goes and transitions. But our prayer is that while she's here in that body, Lord, that the suffering will cease from the pain of sickness and disease, because we believe that you paid the price for this infection, that this infection was paid in full, and it has no legal right in her body, and therefore we renounce it, we break it up, we dissolve it, we melt it, we loose it right now from her body and command her to be healed in Jesus' name, that even at the age of 97, she will find smile and peace and joy and rest in Jesus' holy name. Amen. For Eleanor, I was talking with my friend, and when we were praying for Eleanor, I mentioned to him that was my grandmother's name was Eleanor, and then he said, well, his also was Eleanor, and his grandmother, so I believe it was the grandmother, forgive me for that, but Eleanor be healed in Jesus' name. And also, we're praying for Carolyn Buss. Carolyn and Scott are dear friends of ours. She had been diagnosed with ovarian cancer. It was a large mass on the ovary. We just got a report this morning. Zero cancer in her other organs or in the brain. It's not there. She has taken chemotherapy, and the doctors are confident that there was a little tiny something on her lymph node, and that the chemotherapy will zap that. It'll be gone, including the ovarian mass that was there. So it looks like Carolyn Buss, keep her in your prayers. God is good. There's been a lot of prayers. Let's pray for the body of Christ. Let's pray for people everywhere that don't even know Jesus, that by the miracle working power of his name and his authority, they will get saved because of the miracle. So we're going to continue to pray. That's what we do. That's why we are serving the Lord, because he wants us to pray for people, right? And he's given us this opportunity to believe. Now, on a more serious note, not that that stuff is not serious, but here is a sad note, is what I probably should say. 8 people dead and devastation unleashed as 20-plus tornadoes sweep across the U.S. A wave of wicked weather has swept through several states, killing at least 8 people, injuring dozens more, and leaving devastated communities in its wake. Approximately 21 tornadoes touched down across 5 states, including Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Ohio. The fence around his pool, this is a little quote, was pretty much blown down. He had 3 giant pine trees that had blown over in the field, Ohio resident Irv Howard told reporters as he cleaned debris from his brother's yard. In Franklin, Texas, residents were caught by surprise when an EF3 tornado ripped through the town of fewer than 2,000 people. Someone said, my house was just lifted, scattered over the backyard. And another person said, we've lost about half of the south side of Franklin. It's totally destroyed. The destruction included 55 homes, a church, several businesses, but no fatalities in that particular town. That wasn't the case for other parts of the country. The storm's smallest victims, ages 3 and 8, were killed when a tree crashed into their car in Agalena County, Texas. Someone said, I noticed the tree had fallen on their vehicle, and I knew it wasn't a good outcome. In Louisiana, power outages and flash flooding struck after torrential downpours and heavy winds. 2 people died as a result of the flash flooding, including 13-year-old Sebastian Omar Martinez, whose body was found in a drainage canal. Dear God. The aftermath from the severe weather is also affecting travel. At the nation's largest airports, there were thousands of flight cancellations and long lines of stranded passengers. Welcome to the new America. Dear God Almighty, may you wake up this nation. Someone said, this is very, very, very difficult, and the help is negligible. It's negligible, said Liat Rudberg, who was stranded at Charlotte Douglas International Airport. So the first line of weather pushed through parts of Washington, D.C. and Virginia overnight and off to the east. However, another line of strong storm winds are expected to hit the southern parts of the U.S. by midweek. Very, very sad report. But again, 21 tornadoes over the weekend. I remember a prophecy given by my beloved wife several years ago, probably 4 or 5 years ago. She said, tornadoes, tornadoes, tornadoes. This is going to, we're going to see more tornadoes than ever before. She was right on when she said that. Now, Patricia will be joining me in just a little bit, but I want to now open up a conversation with you that I believe is Holy Spirit inspired. And I would like us to talk about this. I think we need to talk about this. And I have some answers already in my spirit because I've been thinking about it, studying it, and this is what I believe God shared with me. But I want to ask you a question. And may God help me to present this properly to the body of Christ today. How is it you believe, let's just say, you believe we are in the last days. You believe we're in the end times. You believe that God has told you to prepare for what is coming upon the earth. That God has told you to get food. God has told you to get water. God has told you to get medical supplies and all the other things. You believe this. Now, there are people around your life that don't believe that at all. They believe that they are to live one day at a time, trusting the Lord, going about their business. And we have a dichotomy, we have an opposition here. It doesn't have to be necessarily a negative opposition. It's just two people groups within the same camp, Christianity, let's call it. All right, let's just kind of generalize some thoughts for a moment. And in our general thinking as Christians, quote unquote, there are people that believe we're living in the last moments of time, that we need to prepare and get ready, spirit, soul, and body. Other people are living in these days saying, I'm living one day at a time, trusting God and living my life. And I'm not preparing food and water. Now, normally what we've seen in this, this opposition of thought, the one group on the right is saying, you know, you crazy preppers, you crazy, insane people, what a waste of life. And the people that are preparing saying, you crazy people, how could you not see these end times? How could you not be preparing? Boy, are you going to suffer when you haven't prepared. And all of a sudden, you're going to want to come for our stuff, and we're not going to give it away. So we basically have this negativity being thrown at each other. And my question, I want to press this a little further. I've known about people, and I've known people personally, that have believed that we are living in the last days. We're living in the end times. Negative times are coming. Judgment is going to hit the United States. The lights are going to go out. There's going to be famine, food shortage, violence. And so they prepared, they were getting ready, but they died. They died with their food in their safe place. They died with their guns. They died with their bullets put away in a safe somewhere. They died, and nothing that they had been preparing for ever happened. This has gone on for a long time. And maybe you know somebody that's prepared, and their family was saying, you know, gee, I wish you would take some of that money and put it into my bank account and you leave it as an inheritance, or, you know, you supply some of my needs, or, you know, why don't you go out and buy a boat or buy, you know, do something and live an abundant life. And all these poor people that were preparing for the end are dead. And why is that? Well, talk about it. Let me press it just a little further, and I want to bring balance to my thinking. And then I'm going to get into the meat of this, and I'm really going to ask you about these things, because what about the person that's just living every day? They're not storing food, water, shelter. They're living every day. They're becoming doctors, lawyers, dentists. They are, you know, traveling the world. They're supplying missionaries around the world. They're supplying, you know, the kingdom, and they're living and going about life, or, you know, they're just going to church and they're starting businesses and having families and they're not worried about any of this stuff, right? Well, they die too, don't they? They die being doctors and lawyers and dentists and having big houses and money in the bank and kids in college or whatever. They die. So both, on both sides, those that are preparing for the end, those who are not preparing but trusting God and everything, both are dying. And that's interesting. Now, Joseph, I was thinking about Joseph, you know, back in the Old Testament in the days of you know, Abraham and Moses and all those good Joseph, the brother who was a dreamer. He had a dream. In his dream, he told it to his father, his mother, his brothers, and they got very angry because it was about him being promoted. So he had a dream, and they hated him. They despised him. They wanted to kill him, but sold him into slavery, right? And so Joseph is a dreamer. So it sounds like to me, anytime somebody has a vision or a dream or something that is, you know, moving in another direction, there's always this enmity, there's animosity of sorts. You know, people that are preparing for the end times, well, they're viewed by the majority of Christians who have believed in a pre-tribulational rapture, for example, who are saying, what are you crazy people doing preparing? If the times get tough, we're out of here. And so the preppers are viewed as crazy people. They don't know anything right. And then, of course, the preppers are viewing these other people as, what are you guys talking about, a pre-trib rapture? And so what I wanted to talk about this morning is what we're doing. What are we doing? You know, why isn't Vincent Xavier working over at ABC Corporation, you know, making $150,000 to $200,000 a year in some office? And or why isn't he traveling around the world to China with Walmart, being an executive? Or why haven't I just devoted myself to college education and business and starting my own business? Why am I behind a microphone or behind a pulpit for 27 years now without a paycheck, preaching the word that we preach consistently? Why have we moved from Southern California into the Ark, literally Arkansas? I mean, that's amazing. You know, 10 years ago this October, why are we doing this? Why are we on radio 5 days a week on this particular one, and for the last 20 years been on radio? Why are we telling the saints to get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready, right? Why do we do that? And yet, people that we've seen and known that were getting ready died, and nothing that they prepared went with them. And whatever they chose to do with, you know, the families come around and they say, okay, they had some gold and silver stored out. Give me that gold and silver. And so the families come and they take from their parents or their grandparents what they were storing. And we've watched that happen time and again. And so what do you do with this? What do you do with this? You're believing, as I believe, the signs of the times are everywhere. You believe, as I believe, and by the way, I want to clarify something. This needs to be absolutely clarified, that what I'm doing on radio, what Patricia does with me on radio, in our ministry, is not just some emulation, or we're just kind of copycatting what you know, Dimitri Dudeman said or David Wilkerson said. Listen, what we need to understand is that what David Wilkerson said, what Dimitri Dudeman said, are confirmations to what the Spirit of God had placed in our heart long ago. I mean, before we even heard those people's names, God was revealing things, right? And that's probably what he's done for you too. David Wilkerson was a powerful voice in his generation. Dimitri Dudeman, he affected this nation's conscience, as far as Christians are concerned, in his generation. But many of us grew up not even knowing these people until later on, after we got the revelation and the epiphany from the Word of God and the Holy Spirit, what time it is that we should look through the biblical lens at the signs of the times and see something. Then people showed us David Wilkerson's message and Dimitri Dudeman's message and this one's message and that one's message. And we said, wow, we're not the only ones that believe this stuff. This has been around for a long time. And these are holy men of God that serve the Lord with their whole heart. So, okay, this is a confirmation. And it's not something, a reaffirming of my delusion. It is an affirmation. It is a confirmation of what the Spirit of God has revealed and taught us. So we believe that. And so we have been in this understanding for quite some time, preparing. And as my beloved wife Patricia said this morning, as we were discussing this in bed, she said, you know, a lot of this end time preparation thing started with Y2K. And we had a guy by the name of Harvey Weinstein, I think his name was, coming to our church, selling us gas stoves and, you know, food and all that stuff. And the end in the 1998, 99. And we bought a stove. And, you know, that's kind of the first time we were ever really started thinking about preparing for an electromagnetic pulse, the electricity going down, no more computers, widespread chaos. But we never were frightened by the message. We thought it was complimentary to what we had been reading in the scriptures anyways. It just had a timing thing on it. So here we are now in the year 2019. And we get up every morning, Monday through Friday. We come to these airwaves and we talk about the need for preparation. And we share the news about what's going on around the world. And we have people join us on the radio broadcast to tell us what's happening. And oftentimes we get off the air and we go about and we live our lives. But we can honestly say, as far as Patricia and I are concerned, that we have responded to what we heard. We did move out of the West Coast. We did come into the Ark in Saw area, and we are here, and we have prepared, and we have a little bit of land, and we're just kind of doing our little thing. But it hasn't caused us to stop living the life that God has abundantly given to us. We're not, you know, living as hermits in a cave yet, and I don't know if we ever will live as hermits in a cave because we've been doing our part in preparing. But if we were to die, God forbid, if we were to die right now, and this was our last day on planet Earth, did I miss life because I was preparing? My answer is emphatically no. I have not missed out on anything. You know, I just got back from a weekend tournament of playing tennis in Little Rock. My wife and I and little dog Maxie, we drove out to Little Rock. We played tennis, had the blessing of our church. They were okay with it. And had a great time. We're back here today. Got a little exercise in. When we're done today off the air, we're going to go shopping. We're going to live life. We're not giving up on life. But if I were to die today, having purchased some land and prepared a place for the church and for my friends and family, those that love the Lord, they, you know, they're number one on our list. The body of Christ is my family, period. They are number one on my list. Big, I believe that with all of my heart. So I take care of our family the best we know how, doing our little part. And if I died today, I have zero regrets about preparing. Now, somebody else might say, well, I haven't prepared. And if I died today, I have no regrets. And so what is it that's really going on here? What's really going on? Are we afraid of death? No. I want to share my part, because I know in just a moment we're going to open the telephone lines. Patricia's going to come and share her thoughts. And I want to read out of Romans chapter 14. And I really do desire to be somewhat of a peacemaker right now, okay? This is a peacemaker anointing, or an attempt at it anyways. All right, so Romans chapter 14, verse 1. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believes that he may eat all things. Another, who is weak, eats herbs. Let not him that eats despise him that eats not, and let not him which eats not judge him that eats, for God has received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he stands or falls. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. One man esteems one day above another. Another esteems every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regards the day, regards it unto the Lord. He that regards not the day, to the Lord he does not regard it. He that eats, eats to the Lord, for he gives God thanks. And he that eats not, to the Lord he eats not, and gives God thanks. For none of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. For whether we live unto the Lord, and whether we die unto the Lord. Whether we live, therefore, or die, we are the Lord's. For to this end both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then, every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Now, before I go any further, let's talk a little bit about this, because Paul is addressing an issue about eating or regarding particular days. And he basically says, let each person be fully persuaded in their own mind. So I happen to be fully persuaded in my mind that we're going to see an electromagnetic pulse. Nuclear weapons are going to be detonated in cities across America. A time of chaos is going to hit this nation, because the judgment of what we have done, what we have permitted, what we have promoted, what we have allowed, we've gone through it 1,000 times. I believe that the Word of God is a clear picture of what to expect. And so we're preparing. God said, when you see these things, then make sure you flee to the mountains. And he tells people in this country, in our day and age, where we should go, what we should be doing. He said it would be like the days of Noah. So I'm fully persuaded that it is wise to buy land, grow your own food, dig a well, you know, have your food and shelter, and just be out of the way, because the Lord has brought you to a place and he's put his blessing on it. And because his blessing's on it, it's a Goshen. And regardless that the Egyptians can surround it and take it, they don't, because it's God's Goshen, right? I mean, it was given to them by the Egyptians. So you would think the Egyptians could just come and take it. But because it was God's Goshen and it was chosen, well, they didn't. And God's people were safe in their Goshen. So wherever God leads people. So I'm fully persuaded about that. And I'm so persuaded that I get on radio, I'll get on any pulpit, and I'll warn people and tell people about this truth, giving them an opportunity to make a decision for themselves. And Noah was fully persuaded that a flood was coming. He believed God. He prepared. And he preached righteousness while he was building. And so he was fully persuaded. He could not convince many people. And so they mocked him and scoffed at him and so on and so forth. You know the story. Now, because I'm persuaded and I'm reaching out and I'm telling brethren in the body of Christ, pastors, apostles, prophets, I'm telling them that this is the reality. Now, if they don't agree with me and they happen to be fully persuaded that, no, this is the great time of harvest, this is the time of great revival, this is the time of making America great again, America is going to become the greatest nation on the face of the earth, the glory of God is going to be within this nation, all the streams are going to flow again, every good thing is going to happen, America is going to become a Christian nation, it's going to be great, they're fully persuaded about that. Well, if they are, I'm not to condemn them for that. And according to Romans 14, if they are fully persuaded, I'm not going to judge them. And yet they should not judge me for being fully persuaded, because both are proclaiming that we're looking through the biblical lens. And so when it comes to your life and you're viewing the word, you, I personally believe this with all my heart, you should not be living your life based upon what somebody told you. You should be living your life based upon what the Word of God has revealed to you, what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. If you have no particular revelation or no witness in your heart or no Word of God to confirm the reason why you're doing what you're doing, I think you're wrong personally. Okay, I'm not judging you, but I'm thinking you're wrong. I believe that people, especially men and women of God, should be hearing what Jesus says, hearing what the scriptures say, interpreting it well. Jesus was the one that told the disciples about the end of their world 2,000 years ago in 70 AD. Now, he warned them, so they either believed him or they didn't believe him. And those who believed him fled to the mountains when they saw the signs. Those who didn't got caught in the city and, well, they had to go through the fire, right? And so whether one believes or not, well, that's entirely up to the individual. But you and I should believe, not in our own conscience, not in our own heart. We should believe what the Word of God says. At least that's my understanding of how we're to live our lives. We're to live and move by every word of God. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So I have allowed my life, my mind, to be governed and led by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. That's why I believe, when I look through the biblical lens, we're in the end times. We should prepare. We should get ready. We should build an ark like Noah. I mean, it's a no-brainer for me. And when the moment comes while we're building that it's time to enter in and shut the door, which means go in and out no more, then that will be the exact reality of our lives. Now, if I'm believing this and doing all of this and I die today, does it change the fact that the time will come? No. does it justify those who are saying, see, I told you so. This guy told everybody prepare, and we didn't prepare, and he's dead, we're not. Does it justify their position? No, because they may die the next day. You see, it's in God's timing. Everything is in God's heart. And just because somebody prepared and died does not mean they were wrong. And just because somebody didn't prepare and died doesn't mean they were wrong. Because at the moment, even though we're seeing the tornadoes, the hurricanes, the fires, the violence, the school shootings, the church shootings, the concert shootings, we're seeing Islamic terrorism around the world and war. And, you know, just because the world is fulfilling prophecy with every heartbeat, it appears, well, because yet we haven't seen the big kahuna, you know, the EMP, the 7 to 15 nuclear bombs exploded, just because it hasn't happened today, well, doesn't mean it's not going to happen tomorrow. So there's no body that can justify their position just because somebody else died. You died preparing because you were fully convinced. Praise God. But that's not what God is going to judge us on. Here's my point in Romans chapter 14. God is not going to judge you, or God is not going to judge me according to whether I prepared for destruction or not. He's going to judge me on my conduct. You see, when I continue reading here in verse 14, Romans 14, 14, Paul said, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. For if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with your meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the thing which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eats with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor drink wine, nor anything whereby your brother stumbles or is offended or is made weak. Do you have faith? Have it to yourself before God. Happy is he that condemns not himself in that thing which he allows, and he that doubts is damned if he eat. Because he eats not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So what is the apostle teaching us? What is the word teaching us? Hey, if your brother wants to prepare and build an ark, and he believes that it's the last days, fine. If you believe in a pre-trib rapture, and that's what you're fully persuaded in, fine. I'm going to try to convince you otherwise, because I don't want you to be one of those that fall away, and you may have an argument against that. But that's not what God's going to judge us on, whether we believe in a pre-trib rapture or not, whether we believe it's the last days or not, whether we believe we should prepare or not. He's going to judge us by the condition of our hearts, how we treat one another. Do we have the fruit of the Spirit? We're going to be brought to the measuring line. You see, you and I are going to be measured by Christ. And dependent upon the fruit that we have in our lives, love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faithfulness, patience, self-control. Now, listen, I was actually part of a ministry in the early 2000s where I was speaking as a point man, and I was told when I shared that I did not believe in the pre-trib rapture, I was told by the leadership, you're going to hell because you don't believe in the pre-trib rapture. Now, that may have been an overzealous individual that was really passionate at that moment. They may have shifted their thinking today, so I'm not going to rail against that. But you see, that was wrong, to judge me to go to hell because I didn't believe the pre-trib rapture. Well, I wasn't fully persuaded or convinced that that doctrine was true. And I needed time to figure it out and search it out. And I've asked people to send me books, whatever. And every time they do, I mean, the very premise of their thought was never, you know, something that I would want to ever build upon. So I've been convinced that there is no pre-tribulational rapture. And I could teach on it. I could show the Bible what the Bible says, and on and on. I should not have been judged because I don't believe in the preacher rapture. And I should not be judged. I've had people mock me, laugh at me, scoff at me because I bought land and I dug a well and planted a garden and did some things to prepare for the end times. I was mocked. I was laughed at. I was ridiculed. I was slandered because I prepared. I shouldn't have been judged that way because I'm preparing. Now, if you believe in a pre-trib rapture, I've always said, well, if I'm right, you're in trouble. If you're right, I'm okay. But if there is a pre-trib rapture, I'll see you in the sky, pass you by, and say hi. So in other words, I've never condemned somebody to hell for believing in the pre-trib rapture. I've done everything in my power to convince them otherwise, but I'm not going to judge them. And I'm not going to judge anybody that's not preparing for the end times. I would warn them. I would convince them. I would tell them it's the right thing to do. I would remind them about the 10 virgins. But if they choose not to, I'm not going to judge them and damn them to hell. I'm going to wish them the best through the great tribulation in their unprepared state. And so, but if I'm a prepper and I believe in going through the tribulation and I believe that you need to prepare and I believe that there is no pre-trib rapture, it doesn't matter if my heart is corrupt, if I have criticism, judgment inside of me, if I'm critical, fault-finding, finger-pointing, angry, jealous, lustful, proud, and you know, if I'm operating in the flesh, it doesn't really matter. I'm not going to be judged upon the other things. I'm going to be judged again. I'm going to be measured to Christ. Have I been transformed by the renewing of my mind? Have I become like Him? Is there a divine nature operating in my heart? Have all my sins been forgiven? Have I obeyed the instructions of the Word of God? That's what I'm going to be judged on. And so, when I read just a little bit further in Romans chapter 15, verse 1, Paul simply says, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope." Now, I'm part of a pretty big family. How about you? God has a family. And right now, in God's family, there's a bit of confusion. I don't deny that for a bit. Because we're all looking through a glass darkly, if you will. We haven't yet come to a place of pure understanding as far as doctrine is concerned. And yet, I perceive God's family as every single person on this planet that has fled to Jesus Christ as a refuge. I believe that. I believe the cross is the rallying point of every man and woman on this earth of faith. The cross, where the blood was shed for the forgiveness of our sins, and that through our faith in Jesus Christ as God's Lamb, His sacrifice for our sins, that there's been an atonement made for me, that I'm forgiven. Now I'm called to go and forgive as I have been forgiven. If I have a doctrinal dispute with somebody, it may get heated at times. I may be wanting to convince others of my position, but I'm not going to divide myself because somebody believes in a pre-trib rapture and say, I can't have fellowship with you. No, because my unity with the body of Christ is at the cross. Now, just like Jesus said in his day when he said, you know, those that call themselves Jews and are not but are the synagogue of Satan, he said there were people calling themselves Jews that weren't. Well, there are people that call themselves Christians that aren't. And it's all about the conduct. Good morning, my love. How are you today?
I am doing wonderfully, beautifully.
And what do you think about this conversation this morning?
I think it's razor's edge. And I think it's important. It's important that we understand how to stay in love with one another, how to stay in peace with one another, and not be a divided church. Too often, this is what happened through the ages. Churches have been divided with different doctrines, different ideas and concepts. It's time we come into mind with the Word of God. That's the only way we can move in the power in which He has granted us.
Patricia, are you fully persuaded in your mind that we're living in the last days and that we are going to see the judgments hit this country?
Absolutely. I do believe that from what I see coming upon the earth, it lines up with the word of God clearly and precisely, almost to the point where it's amazing how accurate the scriptures are.
And would you say that while you're preparing all these years in your life, that it has stolen from you the essence of life?
Not at all. In fact, it's a feeling of security, even if nothing did happen, because we know, regardless of whether or not the Lord is coming back today or in another 3.5 to 4 years, we know prices are going up just by going shopping. And to have that food or whatever products or things that are on the shelf for protection is a wonderful thing, because it gives you peace that you can deal with the times we're in.
So you're saying then that the wisdom that God has given you, and when you look out at our world, we just heard 21 tornadoes. You prophesied about tornadoes a couple of years ago. 21 tornadoes, lots of damage, hurricanes. You know, we go on down the list. We see the flooding, the fires, all these different things. And you would hope that people would be somewhat prepared. Just in Nebraska, how many people were stuck in their homes for so long while the floods hit there? You know, that you want to be able to survive those moments. So it's wisdom in your mind to prepare anyways.
Absolutely. In fact, they got flooded again. They're back into the same situation. And it's going to affect the market. It's going to affect whether or not there's enough food. But I believe there will be, because the world right now has farming everywhere and there is a lot of trade. But the thing that we have to look at is the cost of it. In scripture, it says a bread will end up costing $100, a loaf of bread. And grain is what has been taken away in Nebraska, because that's what they grow a lot of to make bread. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it really is interesting. You know, I used to minister and preach about Abraham and Lot. Abraham was on a mountaintop while Sodom and Gomorrah was being destroyed. And Abraham represents the seed of God's children that move on in the eternal purpose of God while judgments are hitting all around. Do you believe that while we're preparing, that we are a people that are going to move forward in spite of what goes on around the world? We're already doing it, aren't we? I mean,
we're
already walking in that way.
And God wants to keep provision for his children so that we can go forth and minister and bring the word of life, the word of life to other individuals. They need light and truth, which will give them life. And if we're not taken care of, we're not going to be able to do this. So for these latter days, he has a people that he is going to take care of, as he did in the days of Egypt before they left. It called Goshen. They were there. They were protected so that they can leave and go to the promised land. And we're going to the promised land.
Hallelujah. Yes, we are. Now, Patricia, we've got a couple of calls calling in. I'd like to answer a few of the calls. They've been on for a bit. Let's begin with the first call that came in, 479-238, and say, good morning. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast. You're on the air.
Morning, Pastor. How you doing?
Doing very good. How are you doing?
This is Bill. We're out here on the road just trucking. A couple of things real quick on what you was talking about earlier regarding preparing and one man should and one man shouldn't, depending on how he feels and not judging him. You know, the scripture is very clear that obedience is greater than sacrifice. And so if you feel in your heart that God is telling you to do it, you need to be obedient and do it. Don't judge the other man if he's not. Maybe God's not speaking to him the same way, but you shouldn't judge him. And then if you want to take it to the secular world, you'd say, hey, until you walk a mile in my moccasins, don't judge me. So just food for thought, Pastor. Anyway, have a blessed day.
Yeah. Well, that's excellent thought. Very way to go. Let's take our next call coming in from South Dakota. Good morning, Ken and Kathy. God bless you.
Oh, yes. Praise the Lord. Listening to you here this morning. And, well, I can relate to some of these people you were talking about earlier, especially this Dimitri Dudeman, because in 1990, we were with him, and he was with us in our home, plus at different meetings. And we had very personal talks, and he was a man of God, let me tell you. But here's what came to me when you were talking today about the preparation that people do as the Lord directs. In the book of Proverbs, now, this in 22, it says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. And this scripture came out in a prophetic word approximately 30-some years ago when I was in with some women. It was intercessory for America. And I did not totally understand why that came. But as time went on, God instructed us, put us with people that were preparing for what is coming. And I believe that we have somewhat entered into that very time period now. And if you read in the, and like you said, it's good to have scripture to back all this up according to your thinking. And in Psalms 49, it talks about how the upright shall have dominion over them in the morning, and their beauty shall consume in the grave from their dwelling. You read all about that, there is a time period that God is going to have his select or his chosen or the sons of God, overcomers, and they will rule and reign with Christ Jesus, because it says that in Revelation 2:27. So I really like what you're bringing out, and I think more people are waking up, and I believe that we just have to hold on, and joy cometh in the morning, and Christ is going to come forth, and he wins. Praise God.
Amen. Well said. And again, whether we live or whether we die, while we're preparing or not preparing, we're still going to give an account before the Lord for our lives, the way that we've lived. Patricia, I think these were great questions. And if you're out there today and you have a question or a comment you'd like to share about what we're talking about, the number to call is 818-369-0326. That's 818-369-0326. You know, we hear about a three-year-old that died. We hear about an eight-year-old that died in a tornado. Go ahead and make sense out of that. I mean, there's somebody that didn't even know that they should prepare or not prepare. And we could go on down the list. The number to call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad, and we'll make sure to bring you right into the broadcast. Patricia, your thoughts.
Well, if you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? And we need the provision. We need the good gifts at this time. And if you're having difficulty for any reason, saying, well, I just don't have enough finances to help myself to build that provision, God will grant it. All you need to do is pray and ask him for the provision, and he will give it to you, because he is a God of provision. He wants you to be safe in spirit, mind, and body. And it is true that he even told Israel that when they see the day approaching, and he was talking about the latter day, he said, get yourself prepared and go to the top of the mountain where you'll be safe. He wants our safety.
Well, there's no doubt about it. So today we're talking about being fully persuaded about the times that we are living in. I don't know if there has ever been a time in the history of the United States, maybe there was back in maybe the 1700s or 1800s, I don't know, when there was such not only an urgency, but such a conversation of people that were saying, the end is near, the end is near, get ready, prepare. And then the opposite side being just as strong, saying, you guys are crazy. And then one side, you know, was seemingly justified because maybe that time passed and nothing happened the way that they thought. But folks, we're in something, and Patricia and I stand today fully persuaded. Honest to God, we're fully persuaded. And yet, even being fully persuaded, we realize we may die. You know, God, you know, we don't want to die. We want to be alive and remaining at the coming of the Lord. There's no doubt about it. And we're not living with expectation of death. we're living with expectation to get ready to go through one of the most pressure-filled times in the history of the world as recorded. So we're fully persuaded, and because we're persuaded, we have fruit. We have been proactive the best we know how, and I know you are too. So we're waiting for your call, 818-369-0326. Press 1 on your dial pad. We'll see that you want to share in the conversation. We'll bring you right into the broadcast. 818-369-0326. Let's take our call coming in. It looks like from Texas. Good morning. Right now, welcome to the broadcast. God bless you.
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Well, that's Sister Glenda. How are you? I know you're a preparer.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have a garden this year, and we're going to can. And the Lord told us years and years and years ago that we needed to prepare. Even the government tells you you need at least 6 months' worth of food. So when the Lord says, get ready, I'm coming for the ones that are watching for him to come.
Amen. And how long have you and your husband been preparing, Glenda?
Oh, goodness. 20 years.
And has your time of preparation caused you to miss out on life?
No. We're a witness. We're a lighthouse for people. That's what the church is. And we are the church.
You know, I found it interesting, Glenda, that you brought up the government and that they are telling us also to be wise and begin to bring forth provision for the family members. And if the government, who are just worldly people, you know, not all, but a majority can tell us to put together provision, how much more should we listen to our Heavenly Father that tells us to do that? So I don't think there's a question about it. Do you?
No, I sure don't. We all three are in agreement that we are in the last days.
Amen. Amen to that. And because we are fully persuaded, that doesn't mean that our next door neighbor that is not fully persuaded, we're going to cast a judgment or a snare upon them, but we would warn them and seek to persuade them as well about the times that we're living in. If they choose not to, that they have to journey through that experience in the days that lie ahead. It's that simple.
That's right. That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Well, God bless you. Yeah.
A little tidbit out in the where Midland Odessa is, everybody's preparing, and they're ordering and generators.
They're hoarding generators in Odessa.
So they're selling them. They're selling them to people. Everybody in Texas knows what's coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
See, I think it's growing.
Wow. Isn't that interesting?
We need to have a whole program just talking with you and your husband about the things you guys have done to prepare. It's been an amazing journey, and you've been so beneficial and such a blessing.
We have. Ben is officially retired.
He's never going to retire. That's not going to happen.
Yes, he is. He's retired from the shop, sold the shop in one day.
Wow. Oh, my goodness.
Well, that's interesting. That is interesting. Yep. Well, congratulate him. We're going to have to make sure we have a visit real soon.
All right. Well, y'all just call us, and we do appreciate what y'all are doing. And we love you to death. I mean, we just love you.
Amen. We love you.
Before you go, if it weren't for you and your husband bringing forth the wisdom to us as you have and the know-how, we wouldn't be able to do what we have been doing. And thank you ever so much for the divine wisdom of God coming out from both of you.
Amen.
Well,
Amen.
When the Lord says do something, you do it, right?
Right. That's right. All
okay,
right, dear lady.
You two have a great day, and I'm going to let you go and listen to what else you got to say, okay?
All righty, Glenda. God bless you. Thanks for calling in. Let's take our next call coming in from area code 479-250. You're on the air. Welcome to the broadcast.
Good morning. Just wanted to share an experience that I had on a job assignment. I was over in Hawaii, and the dock workers went on strike. And by the time my employers and I and their child made it to Walmart, most everything was wiped out. And, you know, milk, water, and it's incredible. And so they got stocked up on what they could. And so, you know, the call to prepare is very real. You know, it's for any one of us to not ignore the call beyond the physical preparations, the spiritual preparations, you know, taking advantage of every opportunity we can to fill our lamps with oil. And when it comes time to trimming our wicks, that we are ready to go. And we know that the days that we're going into are going to get darker, as the word says. So, you know, there's two options, and we're either preparing and we're not. And what I found interesting with that job assignment I was on, that the people that heard of, by the time we made it to Walmart, there, I don't know how long, who got first, my mouth was dropped.
Forgive me for that. I know Carla's probably still talking, but the connection is really, really bad, and it's probably a disturbance. But I've heard her story, and what she's saying is when they were in Hawaii, that storm came, they tried to get to a Walmart, and there were no provisions for them. It took a long time for them to ride out the storm, and so she's advocating preparation. And while she was talking, I was thinking about how important it is for those of you who do prepare not to embrace any kind of spirit of shame, that you should be very proud that God has called you to be a person that prepares. And you should be very thankful and very bold about what you're doing, and never be ashamed, even though, you know, Noah always represents the preparers, right? Let's take our next call coming in from area code 479-855. You are on the air. Good morning. God bless you.
Good morning, Pastors. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Good morning to you. Pastor Ken.
Praise the Lord. Yes, sir. Hey, Pastor, I was, you know, listening to the people talking this morning, and maybe a lot of people should begin to go ahead and read Ecclesiastes 3, which tells of the times for many things that are to come on here. And I don't want to get into reading them because it will take too long to do that. But, you know, that should suffice for a lot of people to begin to read and understand where they are and what is coming down and the things that they should do. And interesting in verse 11, though, in the second part of verse 11, it says, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to end. So I like your concept of being prepared. And all I can say in a situation like that is that if we are prepared, we are going to be better Christians, whether it's you believe in the pre, the mid, or the post-tribulation. That doesn't matter. You need to be prepared no matter what time it is that God asks of you to come forward to him to do the work that he wants done, or to come up and finally be with him. In essence, I say, be ready for anything and come forth and do what he wants you to do.
Amen. Well said. And, you know, Pastor Ken, I like to call it, we're happy preppers. You know, there's a secret to being happy about what you're doing. If God has called you to prepare, then prepare joyfully. Prepare and be a happy intrinsically. Let the inward parts of your being be so filled with the glory of Christ so that you're preparing in a relationship with the Lord. He's directing you by the Holy Spirit on what to do, how to do it, and to be with people that are like-minded. There's something very joyful about that. That's why we're starting little Bible studies. Patricia, we got more. speak into this moment.
Yes, and I just want to say that unquestionably there will be all manner of natural disasters. We're seeing them right now. We're seeing civil crises. That's going to grow. And other dangers that we should be prepared to face. Not everything has a purely spiritual answer. During World War II, they sang, "Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition." And we have one in the church that does that.
Hey, guess what? That man that taught us how to praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, Elder George, is on the line right now. We're going to go in a little extended time this morning. Good morning, George. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good. Doing fine. Excellent, Pastor and Patricia. You know, I was just thinking that in James 5, you know, it was he was talking here about go now into that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there for a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and that vanishes away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord's will, he shall live and do this or that. And I was just that just last Pastor Patricia was saying that all the disasters and all the things, you don't need to be a Christian. You don't need to, the preparation is for it can happen. But a short time that we're here, it can happen so fast that been storing up, like you're saying, for being prepared and having gold and silver and all those things, and then the Lord had called you to take you home, and then the unbelieving ones or the ones that are not in the same will or thought as the Lord is will take that and run and spend it foolishly and just keep thinking that you know your parents you're not according to what's going on in this world.
Well, Brother George, I cannot imagine a better way to end the broadcast today, Patricia. That was such a wise statement from our elder. And do you want to share one final thing? We're a little bit over, but go ahead. I thought that was just an excellent way to say goodbye.
I just want to say happy Monday.
Happy Monday to everybody. Amen. Yes. Hey, we're going to wish everybody a blessed day. We'll see you tomorrow, Lord willing, right here on the Omega Radio Network. We're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio and Omega Radio. And right now, at www.omegaradio.org. Patricia Joy Xavier is in session with a roundtable discussion. Hope you'll go to Omega Radio. Tell everybody about it. We're broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and we have some of the best people tuning in. We'll see you tomorrow, 9 o'clock, right here, Central Standard Time. Until then, God bless your day and shalom.